Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is taken from a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 47, Episode 36 is entitled Determinism versus Free Will.
In his book, The Grand Design, Stephen Hawking wrote,
"Since people live in the universe and interact with the other objects in it, scientific determinism must hold for people as well."
That is a non sequitur. It doesn't follow. The assumption in Mr. Hawking's assertion, of course, is that there is no intelligent design and no master creator of the universe. It is ironic that science uses law to give evidence against the lawgiver. To say that we don't need God because we have law is like saying we don't need the Creator because we already have the creation. The implications of Mr. Hawking's assertion are huge. It implies that we do not live in a moral universe. There is no God, no good or evil, and no accountability for our behavior. We are like planets stuck in our orbits. Mr. Hawking continues,
"Though we feel that we can choose what we do, our understanding of the molecular basis of biology shows that biological processes are governed by the laws of physics and chemistry, and therefore are as determined as the orbits of the planets."
The conclusion is that man is a machine without free will. Mr. Hawking doesn't answer the question of consciousness. The level of consciousness determines free will. The assumption is that since planets are not conscious, neither is man conscious. Of course, that begs the question, how does man know that Earth, for example, is not conscious? I would argue that it is. Another assumption is that because planets are not responsible for their behavior, man, who is like a planet, is not responsible for his behavior. The false analogy continues. How can you hold a planet responsible for its behavior governed as it is by gravity? You cannot punish a planet for wrongdoing. So it is for people if they are no more than planets in their orbit. For example, murder, rape, blackmail, robbery, lying, cheating, stealing, terrorizing may all be ethically inadvisable and socially reprehensible, but in a real sense, they're not morally wrong, for like a planet in its orbit, no one is responsible for his actions. There can be no perversion in a world where everything is determined by law. The problem is that thousands of years of human experience argue against the theory of determinism versus free will. Atheism is just a theory, nothing more. Science can neither prove nor disprove the existence of God. Science is inherently atheistic. Science does not even consider the existence of God as a possibility. Therefore, they must account for human behavior by some other means. Notice how glibly Mr. Hawking, speaking for science, assumes that evolution is our creator.
If we have free will, where in the evolutionary tree did it develop?
Can you see the inherent assumption that Mr. Hawking is making? He is asserting that evolution is our creator, that we are creatures determined by evolution, or by law, and never have had free will. If, for example, you answer his question, you have already admitted to his premise that free will does not exist and our behavior is predetermined by evolution. It is a loaded question. Thus, it is a false question. He has laid a trap for you. Mr. Hawking, as does the scientific world, assumes that all theories regarding evolution are facts, that they are all scientifically proven, that they are all irrefutable laws. Whereas theories of evolution proliferate and fly like feathers in a windstorm, the science of evolution only occupies a very narrow field limited to species. There is a wide opinion of scientists, but no proof that a lower species evolves into a higher species. And, as Mr. Dawkins, author of The God Delusion, claims, Evolution is a one-way street to improvement. That is without evidence. Man is still unique and unaccounted for. Again, notice the language of Mr. Hawken.
Recent experiments in neuroscience support the view that it is our physical brain, following the known laws of science, that determines our actions and not some agency that exists outside those laws.
He is referring to electronic stimulation of muscles. That proves nothing but the fact that muscles respond to electronic stimuli. Frog legs appear to jump in the frying pan. A chicken can run with its head cut off, but I doubt very much if the chicken is aware of it. Turn the statement around. It is really saying this. The preconceived view of neuroscientists is supported by recent experiments performed to support the preconceived view of neuroscientists. Do you see the problem? It is called begging the question. There is no Chinese proverb, for example is not proof. Are we to accept the preconceived opinions of neuroscientists unquestioned? Listen carefully to the following assertion by Mr. Hawken.
In the case of people, since we cannot solve the equations that determine our behavior, we use the effective theory that people have free will. This book is rooted in the concept of scientific determinism, which implies that the answer to question 2 is that there are no miracles or exceptions to the laws of nature.
In other words, science assumes scientific determinism. Therefore, all of their conclusions are based on that assumption. What if the assumption is false? Regardless of appearances, it has not been proven true. If you read between the lines, an effective theory is a theory they cannot prove because the variables are too overwhelming. It would take a computer millions of years to make all the computations. And that is all the scientific theory against free will is, an effective theory. It simply means they will accept theory as fact until they find a better theory to support their assumptions. That is not science, it is hubris. Again, look at the assumptions. First, Mr. Hawken does not understand the nature of miracles. No miracle ever violated a law. God is the author of laws. He cannot violate law or he would cease to be God. Mr. Hawken proves that he does not understand how God works. For example, consider the following.
A scientific law is not a scientific law if it holds only when some supernatural being decides not to intervene.
Mr. Hawken views God as a Merlin, a wizard, a sorcerer. God is not a magician. He is a God of law and order. Everything he does by law. If by intervene, Mr. Hawken means that God violates law, the statement is nonsensical. If by intervene he means that God uses higher laws, then he would be correct. We do the same when we send rockets to the moon. We do not violate the laws of gravity. We use higher laws to overcome the gravitational field. But no law is ever broken. So it is with miracles. Laws are never broken regardless of appearances. The only reason we do not understand miracles is because we do not understand the laws behind them. The irony is that when science discovers the law behind miracles, they use that knowledge to deny God. God cannot be discovered through science. He can only be discovered through faith. Faith precedes all miracles. The Christian answer is that free will is a gift of God, not a product of evolution. Without law, there would be no free will. Without law, there would be no creation. There is no evolutionary tree, at least not as hardcore evolutionists envision. Evolution is a science, is for me indisputable. It is obvious when dealing within a species. But evolution is limited by a complete set of laws, and there is no evidence that evolution has the power to create a new species. Science can produce no proof that man is a product of evolution. To science, evolution, along with chance, has replaced God as creator without addressing the question of what or who created evolution. If evolution is governed by law, and God organized all laws, then it follows that evolution is one of the means God uses to allow life to survive in a changing environment. Evolutionists often overlook a simple truth. There are theories of evolution, and there is scientific evidence of evolution. Not all theories of evolution are true. The most obvious one is that because there is evolution, there is no need for God. The advancement of the theories of evolution do not reflect an advancement of science. It reflects the advancement of godlessness in the growing secular world. Universities, movies, television, colleges, high schools, social media, etc., all glibly attribute creation to evolution, assuming that every new theory is a scientific fact. No one even bothers to question the assumptions. I suppose I would say that the greatest fallacy in the world today is false assumption. Critical thinking is dead, and so is the idea of the university. Universities, Hollywood, news outlets, they are all sophisticated propaganda machines. The search for truth is dead. I do not question the verifiable evidence of evolution. I question the theories of evolution invented by man as a substitute for God. Science has bullied man into accepting as fact that which has no proof. They think that by denying God, they must come up with their own views of creation. Nothing that relies upon chance, coincidence, or accident can be called science. Also, in The Grand Design, Mr. Hawking makes the following claim.
It is hard to imagine how free will can operate if our behavior is determined by physical law. So it seems that we are no more than biological machines, and that free will is just an illusion.
Again, he is assuming that our behavior is determined by physical law, thus ignoring that man has both a spiritual body and a temporal body. He is basing his opinions upon the false assumption that behavior is determined by physical law. All he has is the elusive, effective theory. He does not have irrefutable scientific proof. Statements such as, it appears, it seems, recent experiments support the view, are opinions, not scientific facts. Appeal to authority is one of the most dangerous fallacies of science. When someone of the stature of Stephen Hawking speaks, the scientific world listens. But all opinions must be illuminated by the light of truth, or they are not science. Four of the greatest pitfalls of science are false assumptions, false analogy, appeal to authority, and hasty generalization. We are not planets in orbit around the sun. We're not zombies, physical beings governed by our genes. We are a living soul and consist of an immortal spirit and a physical body. The physical body appears to function through genes, but regardless of how the physical body works, without the soul, there would be no life in the first place. Ultimately, it is a question of faith. Underneath the philosophy of many scientists is the following argument. I don't believe in God, therefore God does not exist. That does not meet the requirements of the scientific method. The only reason science attributes the perfectly ordered universe to chance is because science has rejected the obvious, intelligent design. To acknowledge intelligent design would mean they would have to acknowledge an intelligent designer, and that intelligent designer would be God. They simply cannot bring themselves to do that. They consider it unscientific. It is very convenient to call evidence that goes against your theories an illusion, and evidence that supports your theories is scientific facts. We are all living proof that free will exists. Science would have us deny that which we see with our own eyes and that which we experience daily. However, there are higher laws than evolution, and man is far more complex than a mere biological machine, or as Bertrand Russell would say, an accidental collocation of atoms. Earlier, I listed as the four greatest pitfalls of science, false assumptions, false analogy, appeal to authority, and hasty generalization. Three of the greatest false analogies science makes are that man is a robot, that man is a biological machine, and that man is an animal. We are none of those things. We are children of God.
1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
It was Peter who said that we have a divine nature,
whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
I do not appeal to science to support the words of holy prophets. I appeal to faith. That which is true will be validated by the Holy Ghost on a level science will never understand.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.